This is the iPhone Ellie Podcast, Episode 4 for May 17th, 2008. Welcome to the iPhone LA Podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and this is the show that discusses all things iPhone. For the latest iPhone news, tips, and reviews, check out iPhoneLA.com. So, tonight was the night that we were going to record on TalkShoe, and we tried getting it going for, I think we worked on it for about a half an hour, and we just couldn't get TalkShoe to cooperate. So we're not live right now. We were going to be live, but we do have our lovely panel of guests tonight, as always. Joining us from the Mac Observer tonight, we have Mr. Jeff Gamet. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Sorry about the TalkShoe stuff, but yeah, technology, what are you going to do?
It's fine. And it's, you know, it's funny that all of these things sort of stack up on each other. At the beginning of the week, I started getting sick, and I thought, you know, I'm going to take as much cold medicine as I can to get over this without, you know, making me too crazy. And as it turns out, I'm still sick, and then we get into the TalkShoe and that's not working. And but, you know, we're still going to do it. As we said, the show must go on. So
yes, indeed.
Yes. And next, joining us from iPhone Alley is our own Edward Kirk. Hey, Ed, how you doing?
Yo.
You getting ready? You ready to do some iPhone news?
I think so, assuming that the microphone thing works out.
Yeah,
and that I don't break the internet even more.
Yeah, hopefully you don't break it. In the microphone sounds pretty good this week.
Awesome.
So hopefully no one will complain about the low microphone. So last but not least, joining us from iProng Magazine, Mr. Bill Palmer. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I've decided to change my name to Biff Parker. Sorry, I didn't get to tell you that ahead of time.
Yeah, so there's the last thing that we forgot. Out of all the things that stack up, Bill decides to change his name. But it's nice having you on, Bill.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so this is clearly going to be a goofy show, just because I'm still feverish, and you know, we're all in strange moods from trying to get TalkShoe working, but we're just going to keep going with it. So starting off with our favorite topic, I think we've discussed this on every single show that we've done so far, but it is the free Wi-Fi topic from AT&T. If you're not familiar with the whole story of the free AT&T Wi-Fi for the iPhone, it goes a little bit like this. AT&T announced a while ago that they're going to start providing the hotspots in Starbucks instead of T-Mobile, and we all thought that because Apple has ties with AT&T and Apple has ties with Starbucks, that we might see some kind of good deal for iPhone users when they go to Starbucks and maybe get some free Wi-Fi. So it turned out that, you know, they announced it and there was no mention of it, and then users were reporting that it was working, and then it wasn't working, and then we saw that there was an actual iPhone portal page for it, said enter in your iPhone number and you get free Wi-Fi, and then it was included in the you know, the list of things that you get with an iPhone plan, and then it was taken down. They said it was coming, and then they decided it wasn't coming. This week is when they decided, okay, we were going to announce it, but then at the very last minute, they decided not to do it. So Jeff, what do you think? I think you're the only one who's actually had a chance to get even close to this stuff.
It makes me laugh, but that's only because it appears to me that AT&T is new to this part of the game, where they have people that are watching everything they do through a microscope.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and so it's a learning experience for AT&T, and I'm certain that eventually we'll get this whole thing sorted out. And when I say we, I mean AT&T will get this whole thing sorted out. And we'll finally have our free Wi-Fi. But in the meantime, we'll be sitting here going, oh, what will it be next week? My guess is that we'll probably see some type of announcement relating to this at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference in June.
So, what do you think there's going to be any motivation behind doing this, or do you think it's just going to be sort of a, hey, we're nice people, we're just going to give this to you, or do you think it's going to be something more along the lines of, well, here's the 3G iPhone, but for all of you guys who already bought those old iPhones, those ones that don't matter anymore, here's a little consolation prize for you. Do you think that's how it's going to sort of work out?
I think that's going to be part of it. But I think another part of it's going to be AT&T saying, well, geez, here's this iPhone with 3G, and you can't get that fast service everywhere, which means in a lot of places you're going to be dropping back to Edge anyhow. But
Right.
don't worry, because Starbucks is always around the corner, so you can just hop over there and get on Wi-Fi for free.
Yeah, even if you're out in the farmlands and you don't have the 3G service, there's always a Starbucks.
The only place I've never seen a Starbucks is in Nebraska.
Well, that figures. I
I
mean,
mean,
I'm
I'm
not.
assuming they're there, but I've never seen one.
I've never been to Nebraska. The vision of Nebraska in my mind, and keep in mind, I'm feverish today. But when I think of Nebraska, I think of this, barren land, and it's just desert everywhere, and there are tumbleweeds going by. Is that how it is?
Well, the desert part, take that out. But the
Okay.
arid thing, yeah. And tumbleweeds, and occasionally you'll see antelope hopping along. And I'm sure that there's some parts of Nebraska that really can be beautiful. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure someone will let me know.
Someone from
But
Nebraska is going to be emailing us shortly after they hear the show
I'm sure they
and
will.
telling us what Nebraska is really like.
But
So
I've
every
driven through Nebraska a lot on my way back to Iowa and other places east of Colorado. And as long as you have good alignment on your car, you don't even have to put your hands on the wheel. Just go.
Okay. So, Bill, did you mention something that you thought maybe this would be sort of a consolation prize for the people who don't have the 3G when it comes out? Was that you who said that?
No, but I'll take credit for that. That
Yeah,
sounds plausible.
you can go for that. Does it seem like something that, Apple would do is just saying, here's some free Wi-Fi? I think so. I mean, it sounds like a great idea.
Seems like Apple usually only gives away something if they can make some kind of money back from it.
True.
And so I don't think they feel like they have to break even, but if this is going to somehow motivate sales of the mobile iTunes store music, that kind of thing, then they do it even if it's just pennies trickling back. There's a reason why they give away iTunes and they don't give away the rest of iLife.
Right.
This would be a much smaller scale, but at the same time, why not? We're seeing a new Apple that seems to be doing some things in sort of more creative ways and not feeling they have to make every penny back on everything they give away for free.
Well, keep in mind they already have. I mean, in eventually, all of the Starbucks. The plan is going to be that you can get free access to the iTunes Wi-Fi music store at any Starbucks. With you don't have to pay for the charge to use their Wi-Fi. You can just use the iTunes store there and buy iTunes music. But I guess. You could think of, what if you want to buy, something from the App Store? That may be something. But for the most part, I don't know that. I mean, the amount of applications on the App Store, I doubt that, the casual user is going to go into Starbucks and say, "Hey, I just thought of an application that I need. I'm going to go buy it because it happens to be one of those that, you need money for, and I'm in the Starbucks." Who knows? I think it may just be something that's, AT&T is giving away, but then again, it's AT&T, so who knows?
I was thinking more along the lines of if you're gonna, you can go in and buy music without having to pay money to get on the net there, no matter what. But that just sounds like it's an obvious sell job if they announce that. But if they say, oh, you can get on and do anything you want, well, that's going to encourage people to whip out their iPhones in the store, and then it's sort of a long, long way of getting there. But then they're going to be more likely to buy music just because they pulled out their iPhone and jumped on the free Wi-Fi in the first place, even if they weren't planning on. So this is sort of what I think. This is what I'm saying. It's a long way of figuring out how to get a little bit of money out of something, but that could be the angle there is, well, just get them to buy music they weren't planning on buying just because they're checking their email on the Wi-Fi.
Right.
You know, I think it makes a good selling point for the iPhone, too.
Yeah.
If someone's in a store and they have the option of buying a BlackBerry or an iPhone, and they're going, well, geez, features look a lot alike to me on these two models, and geez, what should I do? And then someone says, well, you realize if you have an iPhone, you've got free Wi-Fi every place AT&T has a hotspot. Oh, really? Okay, well, I'll go with that.
Right. And that is a really, really great feature to throw in, certainly, because a lot of people in America, and I'm sure overseas, wherever Starbucks is, it's very popular. I'm, again, not a Starbucks person, but I know that there are quite a few people who go to Starbucks, obviously, since there are so many of them. So that would be a great feature. I would even set foot inside a Starbucks if they had, you know, free iPhone Wi-Fi, because it's, you know, it's just awfully convenient. So hopefully it's going to come. That's the idea. They've set everything up. Clearly, they've had it working at some point, and they had it. I mean, they just had everything lined up to do it. They just decided not to do it. So we're assuming that probably WWDC is when it's going to happen. So hopefully we won't have to. AT&T won't toy with our hearts anymore and turn it back on and off and do anything like that. We'll just get it on June 9th.
AT&T is such a tease.
They really are. So, did you hear about this? Canada is on track to get the 3G iPhone with a $7 data plan. Did you hear about this, Jeff?
I did hear about that. And, you know, part of me says, wow, okay, that's kind of interesting because that's like a lot cheaper. But the other part of me says, all right, well, we don't have the actual confirmation, meaning the real press release.
Right.
So, you know, until I actually see Apple or Rogers issuing a press release about the service launch and what the prices are going to be, I'll just sit back and watch that and go, well, that sounds like a really cool thing, but I'm not going to believe it till I see it.
Right. And, you know, it's $7. Seems like it's certainly a really low price point, but it's kind of interesting that they would have that, and they do have these plans right now for some of their other phones where they have these Rogers approved browsers where you can have this free browsing for $7 a month on your phone. But obviously, that's not going to be the same case for the iPhone. You're not going to have a Rogers-approved browser. You're going to have Safari, because otherwise it wouldn't be the iPhone. So there's no real word on whether or not that'll just apply to the browser, because they already have that plan for just web browsing. But we're assuming that it's going to also apply, in the case of the iPhone, to, you know, the App Store and mail and other things like that that would require web access. And, you know, the biggest thing for me is that I've always heard that Rogers up in Canada is always charging a hefty amount of money for these kind of things. And I've always heard that they didn't really have an unlimited data plan in the past, because it would just be so ridiculously expensive. Do you know anybody in Canada, or have you heard anything about this?
The only thing I've heard from Canada is people complaining over the past few years. They were really late to get the iTunes Store and really late to get the iPhone. So what jumps at me, if this is true, is thinking, wow, the iPhone, the 3G iPhone could roll in Canada at the same time as the U.S. And now for the first time I'm thinking, is this going to be a simultaneous worldwide rollout? Which maybe that's been obvious to everyone else, but for just because of the way they staggered it before, I was thinking this would be some kind of staggered thing. That's what jumps out at me. It's like, oh, wow, Canada's going to get it from day one. And if Canada's getting it, and they're always way down the list, who else is getting the 3G iPhone from day one?
You know, I think that's one of the biggest appeals to Apple doing a 3G iPhone is not only, you know, obviously the Americans will enjoy having a faster phone, but the people in other countries where 3G is the standard for mobile devices, a 2.5G edge phone just isn't acceptable. And, you know, I got an email from someone in Australia who was saying that, you know, 3G is probably the biggest reason for 3G is to sell it in countries where 3G is the standard. And so that may be the case in Canada, but I think that they're going to go for they may go for a huge rollout across a lot of different countries from day one, which would be awesome, especially in those countries who haven't yet gotten the iPhone at all. So that would be great. I think the 3G iPhone is going to open up the iPhone to a lot of different markets for sure.
You know, one thing that worries me a little bit about a simultaneous worldwide launch, can Apple actually get enough iPhones manufactured to be able to pull that off? I mean, that's a lot of iPhones they're going to have to make.
That's true. That is a good question.
Then again, did it really hurt them when they were having the shortages when they first rolled out the iPhone? It seemed like just the such free advertising from, oh, let's check if the dot is green, yellow, or red. You go,
right,
you know, I mean, billions of dollars of free advertising they got just by having a shortage. And they obviously still sold a ton, even though some people did have to wait and run around to a bunch of stores.
Right. What I'm thinking is I would hate to see Apple to end up in the same position they were several years ago when they simply could not produce computers fast enough. Which was not an indication that people were buying computers that quickly. It was just a situation where Apple simply could not produce computers quick enough just in general. And I would hate to see something like that happen again, because you know all of the iPhone bashers and Apple bashers would totally pick up on that and say, oh, look, Apple's back to their same old games. You know, they promise these great devices, and then they can't even make them and get them out to people. That would be a bad thing.
It would be, and you know, it's also possible that with all these shortages that we're seeing, you know, we're assuming that the iPhone is no longer in production, and the iPhones that are still being sold in the few places that you can find them, those are just iPhones that have been sitting on the shelves, and those aren't iPhones that are hot off the assembly line. So it may also be that one of the reasons that they've stopped producing this new one so early, it seems, is to get ready for a launch across several countries simultaneously.
Yeah, that very well could be.
You think they're already producing the new iPhone now?
I honestly do not know. I'm just saying that could be one of the factors in the whole thing. And
it'd be a hoot if Steve get up there and like, we got a billion of these sitting in a warehouse ready to go. That would make some news.
I guess it would, you know, but it may also be a kind of a risky move. So, you know, I mean, everybody is assuming that, you know, as soon as a 3G iPhone comes out, you know, that they'll just, you know, fly off the shelves. But who really knows? I mean, we'll have to see it to actually figure that out, if that'll actually work or not. So what else is there? Okay, so there's, along that same line, AT&T has been restricting the sales of iPhones. Earlier this week, they went back to their one iPhone per customer, and now they're back to their, I think it's three per customer.
Right, but they went back to three.
I don't know if we reported on this last week, but the iPhone is now completely unavailable in the U.S., on the U.S. Apple online store, on the U.K. Apple online store, and I believe Carphone Warehouse doesn't have any more at their retail stores or their online stores either. I've also called around to a lot of Apple stores around the country last week, and a lot of the Apple stores in bigger cities have been out of them. And if you call, you know, Apple telesales, you know, 1-800-MY-APPLE, they don't have any that way either. So, and I don't think it's ever been that you couldn't simply order one over the phone or online up until now. We reported earlier that O2 didn't have any phones, but right now they do have the 16 gigabyte iPhone available, and it seems that that's the only one that's available in the UK. But there aren't a lot left right now in the U.S.
You know, the new Boston Apple store opened up a couple days ago, and they did have iPhones for that launch, but all they had were 16 gigabyte models, is what I heard.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, it's so it may just be that. Well, have 16 gigabyte iPhones been selling more than the 8 gigabytes, or has it just been sort of up in the air as far as that goes?
I was just wondering that myself.
You know, I don't know actually.
Because everyone assumed that, you know, as soon as the higher capacity came out, that everyone would start buying the 16 gigabyte models, and the 8 gigabyte would go the way of the 4. But it's interesting to see that. It may be that people were happy with the 8 gigabyte models, and 16 gigabyte didn't sell as much as the 8 gigabyte did.
You know, when I've been in the Apple store that I go to all the time, the Flatiron Crossing store in Colorado, I see pretty much an even number of 8s and 16s going out the door when I'm in there. Now, keep in mind, I'm in there a couple times a month for just a little amount of time. Right. So take that for whatever it's worth. But, you know, for those few times that I'm in during the month, it looks like there's about even amounts going out.
And when I went to to one of my Apple stores, I think it was last week, the only phones that they had like 4 16 gigabyte phones. But, you know, as it stands right now, Apple doesn't have any on their UK or their US online stores. So there's definitely a shortage somewhere. So I assume that's an indication of something new coming along. So
you know, it would seem that that's an indication of that, because Apple has a very proven track record of flushing the channels clear of product before introducing something new, so they don't end up with a glut of products that they can't offload anymore.
Right. Okay. So moving right along, according to the CEO of Intel Germany, Apple is planning to use Intel's Atom processor in a future iPhone model, and supposedly this device would be sort of a mini tablet, so it wouldn't be a full huge tablet like you've seen. It'll be a little bit bigger than the iPhone, and it'll be using this Intel's Atom processor. Ed, I think you wrote this up. What do you think about that?
Well, you did recently. I think it was. I'm not sure who it was at Intel, but someone at Intel posted a statement saying that the CEO of the Germany branch was taken out of context or something.
Yeah. It. Who said that? It was.
It was one of the Intel. I want to say PR people.
Yeah, I think
made
it
a
was.
Statement.
Yeah.
And what he said was, okay, if you go back and listen to what he really said, what he said was that this chip set can be used in a handheld devices, and an example of a device that could use something like this would be Apple's iPhone. But he didn't actually say the iPhone or an iPhone-like product would have the chips.
So what do you think of that, Jeff? Do you think it's they're trying to cover their tracks, or...
I think that he probably really was misquoted or quoted out of context. And keep in mind that his original comments were in German.
Right.
So when you're taking what he says from German and then munging it into English, then the likelihood of having something get misinterpreted there is even greater. So my guess is that this actually really is a case of misinterpretation or misquoting what someone said.
That's certainly acceptable, I think. I think who was it? Mac Rumors that reported there would be a new 3G iPhone in May, and then there would be a tablet like device for WWDC. Ed, didn't you write something about that too?
I believe so. I don't see. Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't remember what that one was about.
Okay. Well, there was just some rumor that on Mac Rumors that there would be like a 3G iPhone earlier in May, and then there would be something like a mini tablet at WWDC. Oh. But Jeff, did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I saw that rumor also, and I might have read too much into it. You never know. Maybe I was on my cold medicine that day.
Right.
But I got the impression from their rumor that the iPhone was going to show up not just in May, but like it was supposed to have come out this last week. Now, I might have misinterpreted that. It might have just been May in general. But, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. And right. I don't get why Apple would release a new iPhone this close to WWDC when they could make the big announcement there when they have just, you know, how many ever thousand developers there and the eyes of everyone in the media following along what's going on. I mean, that's such a great publicity move. You can't buy that much publicity.
Right. And reportedly the idea for announcing it in May, the 3G iPhone, would be because you have this this brand new device to announce at WWDC. And I'm looking at it now, and it says that it would have a higher resolution screen, about 720 by 480, and it would be about 1.5 times the size of the existing iPhone. But honestly, I don't know that that's the kind of device that Apple is in line to create right now.
You know,
who's going to use this thing, though?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Who's going to use this? I mean, what features is it going to have? I mean, I'm assuming that it's a device that does not have a phone built into it.
Right.
So does that make it okay, I'm going to brand myself here. Does that make it like one of the Star Trek pad things, you know, where it can get on your local network and it's just this little tablet interface thing, or
it sounds like a PDA to me. And haven't we all decided that the PDA is pretty much dead at this point? Something that's not connected to, you know, a cellular network that isn't, you know, part of your phone and everything else, like the iPhone and most smartphones. Isn't the PDA sort of being phased out right now?
Well, like, it sounds like it would be an iPod Touch with a 50% bigger screen. But any bigger than the Touch or the iPhone, it doesn't fit in your pocket.
Exactly.
And so it's like, what is it? It's an iPod Touch for people with really big pockets and bad vision. I mean, I don't want to make light of it. And sometimes Apple takes an idea that sounds really silly and pointless and then turns it into something when they announce it that we get it. You know, we had a blind spot, we get it. And it could be that. I could just be having one of those moments where I'm like, I'm with you, Jeff. I'm like, this is just a niche. There could be some pretty meaningful niches, doctors or something, or classrooms, but I don't see it as a mainstream product along the lines of the iPhone and the iPod Touch.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And if you look at what tablets, for the most part, have been, or where they've been successful so far, it's been in those vertical markets, you know, like warehouse inventory, hospitals, places like that. Just by and large, you don't see the average Joe computer user getting a tablet, and then that's his primary computer, or in many cases even a secondary computer. I'm just not seeing the market there, and maybe I just don't have Apple's vision for this, but I'm really doubting this tablet in between thing. I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah. It to me, it sounds like the MacBook Air, but even more ridiculous. The MacBook Air is certainly a beautiful machine, and a lot of people would enjoy it. The people who want a sub-notebook computer, something that's ultra, ultra portable. But this, I think there's even a smaller amount of people who would benefit from this type of device. I mean, PDAs were when PDA, and, you know, they're still out, I'm talking like they're dead. PDAs are about the size of the iPhone right now and current smartphones. That's why it's so appealing to have this type of device have your phone as well. I don't think that, I mean, you can't carry it around unless you put it in your bag. If you get something that's much bigger than this, like you said, Bill, I don't think it's something that a lot of people would want. And so I'm going to say that I don't think we're going to see something like that right now. I definitely see that Apple down the line is going to start integrating multi-touch into their computers in the future, certainly. And I think the iPhone is sort of an entry into that. And they do plan long term to get multi-touch as the main interface on the computer. But I don't think right now is the time that they're going to do that. And I don't think they're going to. If they did, I don't think they're going to start off with a goofy little tablet type of device. I may be completely wrong. I'm on the record right now for saying that. So if they can't come out with it, I'll look silly, but I don't think they're going to do it.
You know, keep in mind, Apple is also really, really good at learning from its mistakes. And I'm going to hold up the Newton Message Pad as an example of that. Now, the Message Pad is a very cool product, and to this day, I think is still one of the best handheld devices you can get a hold of. However, Apple presented the product in the wrong way at the wrong time.
Right.
And so it just, it didn't work. Now, I think this is the same time for the tablets as it was for the message pad. It would be the wrong thing to bring out at this time. And regardless of how cool it is, it very well could just flop. And I don't think Apple is ready to release something that has the potential to flop right now.
Right. Aside from the MacBook Air, but hopefully that won't flop horribly.
But even the Air is just a sideshow. It's clearly just a side. Like when the iPod Mini came out, and they made sure that even if this fails, we still got the real iPod. And
true.
What you're talking about, the tablets, here's a whole new product line that's going to flop. And then
absolutely.
It's a punchline.
Yeah.
Well, look at the Ultra Mobile PC. And yes, I know there's all kinds of problems you can look at with that. But that sounds to me like the kind of device people are envisioning for this sub-tablet thing that Apple could bring out. And the Ultramobile PC totally flopped, just across the board, 100% has flopped, and it's because it's the wrong product at the wrong time, among many, many other things.
Yeah, I don't think it's the right time. Ed, what do you think?
I don't know, but does anybody else, just to backtrack a little bit about Intel, does anybody else find it a little unusual that they do seem to kind of go out of their way to mention the iPhone in reference to these chips? Has anyone noticed that?
So as far as, yeah. Are you thinking there's a connection with this this little rumor and what Intel's CEO said, or?
Well, no, I'm just kind of backtracking to what we were talking about earlier about, like, you know, Intel and maybe some sort of Mac tablet running on this little chip. But, you know, they do seem to mention the iPhone when they're talking about this chip an awful lot. I mean, when they demoed the Morristown chip, the device that they whipped up to display it in looked like a strange sort of elongated iPhone. It was awfully weird.
True, yeah. You know, it's possible that just because Intel is you know, buddy-buddy with Apple, that they may be doing that. It also may be simply because, you know, the iPhone is one of those things that just simply stands out, and it's good to use as an example. But, you know, on the flip side, you can look at it as, well, maybe Intel is planning to do something, and they're... Yeah, it's more long term than you know, a couple months from now. But then again, I guess you could say that, you know, once they slipped up the first time with showing that elongated iPhone type thing, Steve Jobs may have shunned them and told them, you know, to back off and not do that sort of thing because it stirs up the rumors.
That's what's weird to me, is that Intel, being such close partners with Apple, would mention, even say the word iPhone right now at a time when everyone's looking for any clue and everyone knows that. I mean, Steve Jobs got to be banging his head against his desk and be like having a Chandler Bing moment. Like, could these guys be any more amateurs with product rollouts?
Well, absolutely. And I think that I think he's banging his head not only because of Intel, but also because of these carriers, you know, with AT&T, with you know, putting out that memo saying, you know, don't take your vacation. And now I think it's the CEO of what was it, O2, yeah, an executive at O2, I don't remember who it was, but at O2 they said that that a 3G iPhone would be coming in the next couple of weeks, and we're all assuming that that'll be, you know, WWDC. And I know that we've all chimed in, we all chime in every week when we talk about this, when we think a 3G iPhone is coming and when it's actually going to be on the shelves. Have you guys seen this rumor?
Yeah. And okay, I think what we're dealing with now is a cultural issue. And I'm not talking about one country versus another country's culture. I'm talking about the culture that Apple has and the culture that the cell phone industry in general has. And all of these carriers are used to being able to say certain things that Apple doesn't want them to say. And so they're still doing things and learning, I'm doing air quotes now, the Apple way.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why we're seeing things like these comments coming out from O2 saying that there's a new iPhone that's only weeks away. We're seeing AT&T do their thing where they're flipping service on and off while they're testing and trying to figure out what they're really doing with that. And you know, I think that's all just fitting together because that's how these cultures work, and it's not how Apple's culture works.
You know, you bring that up, and it's actually pretty humorous when you see these guys. It seems like these guys are such, like you said, Bill, they're such amateurs in this type of thing, where you know secrecy is paramount, and they're just going around doing their normal thing and announcing this sort of stuff, and then Apple's calling them next day saying, "What are you thinking? I mean, don't you realize that everybody is now leeching onto this this thing that you just said?" And by the way, it was the chairman and chief executive of Telefonica Europe who said the 3G iPhone is coming in the next couple of weeks. But I think it's really funny, like you said, Jeff, that with these cultures clashing, I wonder when they're actually going to get it and if it's going to finally close down and get a little more quiet in the next couple of years. I don't know how I feel about it, honestly, because in the past, Apple rumors, it was a lot easier to get these Apple rumors from insiders who were working with Apple on something. And it seems like now these guys are so used to just talking about it that the rumors are flying a lot more quickly than they used to.
Yeah, I think they certainly are. Yeah.
So, Jeff, do you want to change what you think about when the 3G iPhone is coming and when it's going to hit the shelves?
You know, so many things have been happening in the last few weeks that that point away from what I have been saying, which is we'll get an announcement about a new iPhone model with whatever features at WWDC, and then it will ship in September.
Right.
Well, now we have this thing where the channels seem to be clearing. We've had deals for over 40 different countries crop up over the last couple of weeks, and I'm just a little worried that I might be wrong now. So I'm thinking that there actually is a real possibility that we might see a new iPhone at WWDC, and even if it doesn't ship then, it will ship before the end of June.
Okay, so that's your new updated prediction.
Right, and so if I'm wrong, then I'll go back to my original prediction, which is we'll see it in September.
There you
go. How's that sound?
That works. And you know, for me, I think it's going to be the same type of deal. I think it's going to be an announcement on June 9th by Steve when he shows off all these new things. He's going to, as far as the SDK and applications go, I think he's also going to announce a new iPhone, show it off, and then we're probably going to see it on June 29th at 6 p.m. again. 1 year
you know,
after.
I'm going to push it up on you 2 days, and I'm going to say June 27th because that's a Friday.
Okay.
That's the last Friday of the month.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll go with that. The last
now,
Friday
the
of the
thing
month.
That concerns me about this prediction is that we are now going from the middle of May to the end of June without Apple really being able to sell iPhones.
Yeah, it's I mean, are there going to be a lot of people complaining about this? For the most part, I assume that for the people who are really anxious to buy the iPhone, most of those people have already purchased it, except for maybe a couple of the guys who've been waiting for their contracts to wear out. I think at this point, and I may be completely wrong, but I think at this point, people who are waiting for an iPhone are waiting for the next revision at this point.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Okay. So, Ed, what do you think? When are we going to see an announcement, and when are we going to see the iPhones on shelves?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he announced it and then they started shipping in June. It would make sense to me.
So just the same thing that we've been saying, that
yeah,
an announcement
yeah.
at WWDC and then shipping on or in store shelves on the last Friday in June.
Yeah, although it would still be cool if he said, you know, at WWDC, okay, here it is, now go buy one. And I would love to see that happen. That would be awesome.
I think it would
be
cool. But I think that Steve loves to pull the, you know, pull the black sheet off the new shiny product. And I think he loved the build up there was last year when he said, okay, it's going to be the 29th at 6 p.m. So I think he's going to announce the date, and everybody, I think he's going to go for another one of those big launches where we had everybody lined up and everything. But I would love to see a new iPhone that day. That'd be awesome. But Bill, what do you think?
Up until this past week, I was pretty confident that whenever the new iPhone was announced, it was going to be shipping shortly. But what occurred to me this week, and it's kind of a dumb moment, is that unlike the iPod, which even though it dominates the market and its competitors are crappy and unpopular, there are direct competitors to the iPod. You know, the Zune had the 30 and 80 gigabyte, at the same time the iPad had the 38 gigabyte, and the SanDisk has the same capacities. So if the iPod were to disappear from the market for, say, a month, Apple would lose sales because people are going to walk in and they're going to see something that's similar, crappy, unpopular, but okay, similar. It is similar to the iPhone. And I think someone who walks in the store, they've made up their mind to buy an iPhone, $400, 2-year contract, and they look around, oh, you're out of iPhones for a month? Well, what am I going to do? Unless their phone has a cracked screen and they've got to buy something right then. I think anyone who's wanted an iPhone, the average iPhone user is going to see the BlackBerry and say, That's too complicated for me. And then they're going to look at like another flip phone and they say, well, no, I'm tempted by the iPhone. I want some features. I want an email. I want this cool web browser or whatever. I think those people might actually wait a month, month and a half to buy a new iPhone, unless it's a special situation where they get to have a phone right then. But I really think Apple, as crazy as it might sound, might get away with going a month or two with having no iPhones. So I think at some point you've got to announce it and start taking pre-orders. I don't think you can go maybe more than 3 or 4 weeks before you at least have something out there, because otherwise people are going to start rumors of, what, did they discontinue it? What, you know, did they kill it off? It wasn't selling. What happened? But
right,
I think they could actually go a while and not have it and actually have it work out for them. As crazy as it might seem, let them not buy one. You can't have an iPhone and it's going to somehow boost sales.
Well, yeah, that's what they do with the Wii. And we certainly waited, what was it, 5 months from the initial iPhone launch until they had it, available. We all waited.
I don't know too much about gaming. Was there an equivalent to the Wii at the time that someone could go buy something that was similar?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm just going back to the fact that, you know, we waited like 5 months for the first iPhone after it was announced. So, again, you know, we're a little bit in the minority here with that, because we all lined up outside of the Apple and AT&T stores. But I think you're right. I think people will be willing to wait just a little while, but I definitely think Apple needs to make their announcement soon, because it may be that they've allowed their channels to be drained a little more quickly than they had first anticipated, because, you know, we have 15 some more days until WWDC, where Apple could, make an announcement of a new iPhone. So, you know, hopefully that all works out. And I don't think there are going to be too many people who shift and say, you know, I really wanted an iPhone, but they're not out. I'm going to jump ship and go somewhere else. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think that you might be wrong.
Really?
But yes, but I'm basing that on the fact that a lot of people that I think are going to go hunting for an iPhone are hunting for it because it's cool. I mean, the iPhone is the thing. And so if you go into a store to buy an iPhone and they're not available, they won't be available for a month, but the store can say, well, you know, we don't have the iPhones, but we have this really cool Sidekick or whatever. And then they explain to you why some Windows Mobile device is better because it has all of these other features and you can buy it today. I think there's a lot of people that would go for that simply because they don't know really what's in the product. And so they're trusting the stores to tell them what they need to buy.
True.
And if you're, say, an AT&T employee in an AT&T store and someone comes in to buy a cell phone and you can't sell it to them and they walk out the door, you've just lost a sale.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I guess that's why Apple is hoping that more people come in to the Apple stores looking for an iPhone than they do AT&T stores. But I think people who are looking, you know, it's a different demographic who goes into an AT&T store looking for a phone and they see the iPhone there than someone who walks into an Apple store looking for an iPhone.
I don't think someone goes into an AT&T store looking for an iPhone.
Right, yeah. I think they go in there looking for an AT&T phone.
I think most people don't even know that the AT&T store sells iPhones unless, right. like you said, they've been in there and happened to see one.
It's interesting. Hopefully Apple won't have too many problems with that while they're waiting to announce a new phone. And we may see an announcement in May, but I'm definitely going to stick with, you know, iPhone June 9th and, well, an announcement, and then, yeah, the last Friday in June. So along those same lines, as far as, you know, next generation iPhones go, there was this little thing on AT&T's website earlier this week where if you're an iPhone customer on AT&T and you go to your page to see information about your account, you'll see, you know, all of your minutes and all of your used data and all of that, but you'll also see the device that you're using, and it shows the iPhone for, you know, if you're an iPhone customer. But you can go in there and you can change your device, and someone's found that iPhone was in that list, but also iPhone Black was also in that list earlier this week. And AT&T said that it was just sort of a placeholder while they were doing some maintenance over the weekend. But we've seen, you know, these pictures of supposed, you know, leaked iPhones. Do we think that there's any connection between this? Is this, you know, again, the culture of, you know, the cellular carriers and Apple clashing here, and they just didn't think anyone would notice this, Jeff? or either one of you, Bill or Jeff, what do you think?
I want to hear what Jeff has to say.
Okay, go, Jeff.
Okay. you know, I think that this is AT&T being stupid. And okay, just flat out.
Okay, let's
stupid.
Hear it.
All right. I think that they're prepping for knowing that there's a new iPhone coming. So someone's in there updating their databases. They can add in these new fields. They've seen the rumors about the new iPhones coming out. And so someone thought it would be funny to call the placeholder iPhone Black. And I don't think it's actually an indication of what Apple is going to be releasing. It's just an indication that AT&T knows there's something new on the way, and they needed to get a placeholder thing into their system to accommodate that. And like you said, it didn't occur to them that people would be snooping around their website to see what they could find.
You know, that sounds about right to me, because when you think about it, who are the people at AT&T who know what the next iPhone is going to look like and what is going to be included in that next iPhone?
Well, it's not the guy that's coding the website.
It's not the guy who's coding the website. It's only a couple people. It's like, who is it? Stan Sigman, who went up there at Macworld in 2007, and
boy, that guy can give a speech, huh?
Oh, the guy with the huge note cards.
Yeah,
wasn't it? And I think we were all there, save for Ed. But didn't at some point everybody start clapping to try and get him off the stage? I seem to remember that.
I just remember feeling really bad for him, like, this poor guy. Yeah. He just, wow, yeah. He's reading off of note cards. I just think the next time we see Steve Jobs in public, he's going to have a giant bandage on his forehead. Because all this crap like this, and I think you're right, Jeff, it's just harmless, you know, nonsense that somebody made up. He's banging his forehead against his desk all day long. He's going to bruise himself. It's like, can't they get their people under? Do they not understand this is such a sensitive time that even a harmless joke like that just doesn't work? It doesn't fly. And just the big Steve bandage, you know, the eye band-aid or something when he comes out, because he's got to cover up the right. bruises from just slamming his head on the desk.
You know, I'm thinking Steve is high enough up the food chain, he can tell Phil Schiller to smack his head on the desk for him. Phil, I'm frustrated. Smack your head on the desk.
Gladly. Yeah. You know, the more you mention that, all this stuff coming together, it does seem like it's just, you know, Apple is like you said, just banging their heads against their desks, and these guys, all the carriers, are just clueless and saying, what? We don't get it. We don't understand why this is a problem. But so I'm going to say, I like what your explanation for it is, Jeff. I think it's just someone who was putting a placeholder in there for whatever reason, and they, you know, just decided to go with iPhone Black. Do you, I mean, I guess it, the explanation wouldn't really go anywhere else as far as, you know, someone who codes the website was just simply pulling a prank, and it wasn't even that they were updating their databases, because I think it's a given that we're going to see a new iPhone.
Well, yeah, we know we're going to see a new iPhone, and so, regardless, because right. Apple will always update their products.
And we've always, and we've already seen that AT&T does this with their website, with the free Wi-Fi, that they do update their website and play around with things before things are actually announced. So, I mean, that could be it right there.
You know, hasn't AT&T ever heard of like sandboxing a server so that you can test your website offline?
I don't think so. I mean, that Stan Sigmund guy, I don't know if he even uses computers.
That's not on the backside of his index card.
Right.
I will point out, though, I just looked this up. iPhoneBlack.com was registered January 10th, 2007. So, and it's private. So, I don't know. They've been sitting on that one for a while. Somebody has.
Well, I mean, as far as domain names go, after what Arn... over at Mac Rumors did back when there was the MacBook Air. I think he bought MacBookAir.com, you know, and then set, you know, it got out that MacBookAir.com was registered. And then after, you know, everyone started talking about that, he said, yeah, we actually bought that. You know, if Apple, if Apple wants it, they can totally have it. And they eventually did take it from R, and he willingly gave it to them. But so as far as domain names go, I don't think there's any credibility in having a domain name registered at this point.
But you know, what a great way to stir up rumors, you know, go and buy a bunch of domain names and then write an article about it on your site to drive up hits.
Yeah. What is it? GoDaddy.com, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
GoDaddy.
$10 investment, and look at all that traffic spike you get. Oh, you know, that's what I figured. If there's no good rumors coming out, they're going to make stuff up.
Just make stuff up.
If you make up a rumor, then it never gets refuted, and Apple doesn't sue you. You know what I mean? It's like that New York Times journalist, whatever, that was writing, or it wasn't, whatever it was, he's writing phony stories about phony people. No one challenged him because the imaginary people he's writing about didn't exist to challenge him.
Right.
And so I anything I see on the rumor sites, I'm always thinking, well, wouldn't it suit them to make stuff up anyway, rather than go out and get real sources that could get them sued?
So, well, isn't it the indication now that, you know, if something is legitimate, they get a takedown notice, and that's how you know if it's legit, right?
But Apple doesn't always give the takedown notice.
True, very true. So are we done with that one, or does anyone want to get a last word in, or are we good? We're good. Okay. So let's move on to our iPhone picks of the week, and I know everyone has an iPhone pick. So who wants to go first?
Oh, I'll jump in.
Okay, Jeff.
Go, Jeff.
Go, Jeff. All right, my own iPhone pick of the week, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to go, huh? AppleCare. And let me tell you my story.
Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Okay, so AppleCare, my iPhone a couple weeks ago started growing bubbles under the glass.
Ooh.
Wow.
And so I was starting to get it was beginning to look like a carbonated iPhone. And so I took my iPhone in to the Apple store that's closest to me, which would be the Flatiron Crossing store in Broomfield, Colorado. And they just swapped out the phone for me, said, you know, we're really sorry, and by the way, we'll activate your new phone so that you can still make calls on your way home. And off I went, a happy camper. Now, my 1 year, of course, is coming close to an end,
right,
which means that if I have a similar problem after that anniversary, I'm hosed. But for $60... I know I have the peace of mind that anything that comes up like that, I can go in and they're just going to fix it, no questions asked.
Right. And so the way that it works right now is you have, because you sign up for a 2-year contract with AT&T, they decided, okay, instead of the standard, I think with most Apple products, 90 days of phone support and then a year of hardware
right.
support. Okay, so with the iPhone, it's actually 2 years of phone support. And the hardware, you know, repairing support is limited to 1 year. So once
right.
you get past that 1 year mark with your iPhone, you're out of luck. So you can buy that anytime within the span of your 1 year hardware plan, right? You can't buy it sometime between the phone care.
Right. You have to buy it in that first year. And what they told me is that when you come in to buy it, if you're waiting till the end of your year, buy it and activate it at least 2 days ahead of your anniversary date so that there's time for everything to cycle through and it shows up in the system correctly.
Right.
And if it's on a weekend, buy it earlier because the stuff apparently doesn't cycle on the weekends.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. I've had to deal with buying AppleCare towards the end of the lifetime of the warranty, and it's not a fun experience to try and convince them that you did actually buy it then. So AppleCare protection plan for the iPhone, it is $69.
$69? All right. Still worth it.
$69. Apple.com. You can, I think it's apple.com/store, and you can find it somewhere in there. Or I just did a Google search for iPhone AppleCare. And you'll find it that way. So it's definitely worth it. I always recommend AppleCare for Macs and whatnot. I haven't bought my AppleCare on my iPhone, and I don't know that I will, honestly, because I'm expecting to get a new iPhone soon anyway.
Well, you can transfer AppleCare with the device.
Can you transfer it to a new device, though?
No.
Okay.
But let's say you buy it on the iPhone you have now.
Right.
And then you want to sell it to someone else.
Yeah, it definitely increases the resale AppleCare value. Goes with it.
Right.
Yeah. When you sell something on eBay, it's definitely good to have the AppleCare warranty. So that's a great pick. Very good pick. Jeff, do you have a pick?
I just gave you my pick.
I'm sorry.
You Bill. Are so on cold medicine.
I'm so on cold medicine. I knew that would happen. All right. Bill, do you have a pick?
I was just going to come in with Jeff's voice and make the exact same pick and see if anyone
That would be
knows.
Awesome. Can you do that?
And Michael, edit it out so that it sounds like we just did it back to back. It'll be great.
Yeah, editing, because I'm all about just I edit this stuff for hours. You guys make it so easy for me with this.
You know, actually, I do have and it's a software application. You like this, but first I do want to say that after making my pick last time was the Mophie Juice Pack. One did arrive in the mail just a few days after that. I thought about recommending maybe I recommend like the iPhone compatible BMW. Maybe they'll ship me a BMW. But
it's the power of the iPhone LA podcast. I think really you not. Might get an iPhone BMW.
Yeah, I think Mophie was listening to your show. So hello, Mophie, if you're listening. But I actually do have. This one I have to put a big qualifier on it because I don't know what the deal is on it, but I got a sort of press release. They're interested in us covering it kind of thing. A couple of days ago, it's a company called Savant. It's SavantAV.com, and it's a home automation stuff, and they're telling me they're bringing it to the iPhone, apparently the iPod Touch, and it's an application. You don't have to hack it. They have yet to tell me how you don't have to hack it, and because it doesn't look like a web on there, but supposedly you can sit there and with your iPhone control your home automation, you know, while you're sitting there on your couch. And supposedly this is something that is Apple sanctioned. Like I said, big caveat, because I'm still trying to get the full scoop. But I thought the timing was just interesting that, you know, however many weeks away we are from the App Store, here's this. I have no idea if this is SDK or really what it is. And their website is kind of cryptic. It says, a proprietary software included in the mobile devices is not compatible with mobile devices purchased elsewhere, which implies they're going to start selling the iPhone with this stuff or bundling an iPhone with this preloaded with their multi-$1,000 system.
Well, I doubt that. I think they're probably that. I think that just applies for majority of the phones. And there are a lot of companies that say that sort of thing. And there's definitely an exception for the iPhone. So I doubt they're going to be selling them, but who knows?
Yeah. I just thought it was really kind of cool to see. I finally got an application I can recommend that appears to be a real app that you don't have to hack it, and it doesn't appear to be web-based either. It's like,
so it's not a web app?
Apparently not. This is what I'm still going back and forth with them, and you know, hit the weekend, and it's kind of hard to have to wait till the week to kind of get. But it's if you look on their website, if you go to SavantAV.com and you click on mobile devices, and they have the iPhone and the Nokia N800 is the two. You click on the iPhone, there's a picture of it, and it could be a web page with some kind of, you know, mock up, and they've hidden the top, but it looks like it's a real app. So, and again, I have no idea what this means either now or in the future, but I thought it was really interesting that we're starting to see this stuff now right before June.
Yeah, cool. We'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes for sure, as we do with all the all the iPhone picks. We'll put a link in there so you can go check that out and read more about it. So, Ed, do you have an iPhone pick?
Nah, sorry. Alas, I didn't prepare.
Didn't
quite
you?
That far.
Didn't you say something about your headphones?
Oh, you're right. I completely forgot. Yes. My Shure SE310 earbuds, which I absolutely love. They are fantastic.
And they fit into the iPhone's recessed headset jack?
They do. Actually, I was surprised after reading so much about how so many people have had problems early on with the recessed head jack and their headphones. I was shocked that when I got this, they fit perfectly.
Okay, and so those are the Shure SE310s, right?
Yes.
And how much do those cost normally?
I don't remember.
Okay, I'm looking it up. I think it's $400.
Yeah.
Is the MSRP I'm looking on the website right now. No, wrong. That's the 420. I'm looking at the wrong picture. $300. Oh. But if everybody's, you know, if you're sitting there listening to this podcast and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, headphones that are $300, Shure has some great headphones. And these aren't just, you know, regular old, you know, iPod earbuds that you get. These things rock. And I think
they are fantastic.
And I think that Jeff would actually... Jeff, have you used any Shure earbuds?
I have, and I really like them. I'm actually using Westones right now.
Okay.
And I forgot which model I'm using, but they don't call them earbuds when you get to that level.
They're sound-isolating earphones.
They call them in-ear monitors.
Right, yeah. You have to be very fancy with these. But okay. It's definitely worth your money. It's not just overpriced. These things actually go into your ear if you're not familiar with them. But they deliver some really great sound, and I have a pair of SE210s that Shure sent me with the with an iPhone adapter. So the Ed's pick is the SE310s. You can get that at Shure.com, and they are $300. So my pick doesn't cost anything, and it is a native application because I'm trying to level it out because it doesn't seem like any of the guests ever have a native application. But hopefully, Jeff... are you going to hack your iPhone soon again?
You know, maybe. I might just wait till the App Store comes out and then start loading apps back on.
Don't you feel naked without the applications, though?
I feel kind of weird. Yeah.
Doesn't it just seem like you have your iPhone and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to do something. Oh, wait, it's just got these applications here, and you wish you had more. For me, whenever I restore my phone, it's always strange to not have something. I mean... last time I got my iPhone replaced at the Genius Bar, I literally, as soon as the Genius walked away, I jailbroke my iPhone, the brand new one that he just handed me. I jailbroke it immediately right there because I can't stand not having the third-party apps on there.
Okay, that's funny. You were in the Apple Store using Apple's wireless network and jailbroke your iPhone. I love it.
Yeah, right at the Genius Bar with the brand new iPhone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but because that's how I roll. But anyway, that is how I do it. My iPhone application pick is iCopter. And have any of you used it, Jeff or Ed?
No, I haven't.
Okay, iCopter, and I don't know what the game is that it comes from, but I'm pretty sure that there have been games like this in the past, old school games. And the idea with iCopter is you're flying this little itty bitty pixelated helicopter through this insane tunnel maze of consisting of more huge green pixels that you're trying to navigate through, and little obstacles appear as you're going down the tunnel. And the idea is you control it by tapping and holding on the screen, and what that does for you is it makes the helicopter go up, and when you let go, the helicopter goes down. And so you have to maneuver in this crazy tunnel. You know, I don't know. Jeff, have you seen something like this?
I've played many games like that over the years.
Okay,
I remember playing stuff like that back on, my Mac Classic, Mac Plus.
It's old school.
Back on my Apple II Plus and 2E. Yeah.
It's one of those old school games that are just so ridiculously addictive to play. And that is why it's my pick, is because... as soon as it's not brand new, it's been around for a while, and you can get it from the installer .app, and it's under games, I believe. But I just installed it, and it's just insanely addictive. I just keep playing it, and, you know, It's so simple. You just touch anywhere on the screen and it goes up. And I have no idea how a helicopter gets into a situation where it's flying through a little pixelated tunnel where it has to dodge these walls. But it's
clearly you've never been a helicopter pilot.
Clearly,
before.
I've never flown a helicopter, and they just do that all the time. But it's really fun. iCopter, grab it from installer.app. You have to have a jailbroken iPhone. And I was hoping to have someone call in again with the talk show, but that didn't work out because their question was about, you know, what jailbreaking is. And I think I'll just address that right now because I'm on the topic. Not a lot of people understand what the different terms are. And it's because these terms came out of the hacker community. And if you're a normal person, and I definitely am saying that, you know, there are hackers and normal people. if you know a hacker, they have their own terminology for this type of thing. And so what it comes down to with the iPhone, jailbreaking is not synonymous with unlocking the phone. When you unlock a phone, this applies to the broad array of phones where you can get them on different carriers. Unlocking is where you can enable it so it can work on any carrier within the technology that the phone was built in. So, built around, rather. So with the iPhone, you can put another SIM in from like T-Mobile or from another carrier overseas or something like that. That's what you get when you unlock it. So you can use it with you don't have to use it with AT&T. You can use it with another carrier. Now, jailbreaking is completely different, and because unlocking actually messes with the hardware on a lower level than simply jailbreaking. Jailbreaking, what that does is allows third-party applications and modifications to be made to the iPhone's operating system. So you can add the third-party applications, and you can, you know, do fun things like remotely logging into it and transferring files back and forth and all of that. That is not something that will actually break your warranty. It may be something you don't want to show up to an Apple store with if you're going to go to a Genius Bar appointment and say, I have a problem with my phone, because if they see that you have iCopter on there, they may say, that's a no-no, and turn you around for, you know, reject you for service, but it doesn't break your warranty. But, you know, if you're a little faint of heart, don't do it. It's, you know, we're going to see the App Store soon. But that's how they've been getting the third-party apps on there. And I know a majority of our listeners already know about this. But I definitely get that question almost every day in my inbox from someone saying, hey, you know, I want to do this. And they just don't understand it. So, and I think we're going to start putting up some Hacking 101 guides up on the site soon. But you can... you can do a little more research by searching for, I'm going to say Ziphone, Z-I-P-H-O-N-E. Use that for jailbreaking only. Don't use it for unlocking. So that's my little talk on if you're new to the iPhone, you just got one and you want to do something fun with it. The first step is to jailbreak, and you can then install all of these fun applications. So with that, I don't think there's anything else to cover. Let's get to the pimping the sites. So, Bill, where are you from, and how do we find more of you?
I'm from Florida, and I live in Los Angeles some of the time. You can check me out at iprong.com. That's the magazine, and my blog is billpalmer.net, and my Twitter is twitter.com/billpalmer. I wanted to be original on that one.
Hey, it works. It's easier to find you if you don't have a goofy nickname. Jeff, where can we find you? What do you do during the day?
You can find me all over the internet. But it's easy to find me at macobserver.com and ipodobserver.com. I'm the morning editor and reviews editor. And if you are so inclined to see what goes on in my head during the day, my Twitter name is Jay Gamet, and that's J-G-A-M-E-T.
There you go. And Ed... we can find you at iPhoneAlley.com because you're the main man right now doing all the iPhone news and whatnot while I'm working on the next revision of the site. But what is your Twitter?
Twitter.com/EdKirk.
So you can figure out what Ed's doing, what he's up to on iPhoneAlley.com, or you can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/EdKirk. And you can find me, of course, at iPhoneAlley.com. I do some of the news right now, not as much as I will in the future, and I do a lot of the reviews. Right now I'm working on the next revision of the website, but you can find out what I'm up to by checking out twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And while we're talking about Twitter, you can, if you're into the whole Twitter thing, you can actually follow what's going on the website, because the website has a Twitter as well. That's twitter.com/iPhoneAlley. And so whenever we post a news article, a tip, a review, you can it'll just show up in your Twitter feed. And so you can click the link right there and find it out. So you don't even have to check your RSS feeds. You just have to look at your Twitter stream. So that's if you're into that, check that out. Got to say that our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, and they rock for doing that. It's CashFly.com. They do distributed hosting of audio and video files, so you can check them out. And you know, if you have a podcast that you want to do some heavy distribution of, check them out. And for iPhone news, tips, reviews, all that stuff, check us out, iPhoneLA.com. And once again, you can get the show notes for this show and previous shows at iPhoneLA.com/podcast. And so next week we're going to do our pre-recorded show, like this show actually ended up being, because it was initially intended to be a talk show. But next week it's going to be pre-recorded. But if you have any questions, you can, or comments or anything like that, you can send us your feedback to podcast@iPhoneLA.com. So I think that's it. Another episode of the iPhone Alley podcast is out the door. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?
Every time I hear that song, I picture a Steve Jobs bobblehead.
Is there a Steve Jobs bobblehead?
There should be.
In my magic world, there is.